Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. If, like me, you occasionally disappoint yourself with how little you've managed to accomplish in your life, this next segment might make you feel even worse. We're going to hear from the hugely talented musician, composer, and conductor Matthew O'Coin, who's just 25. My co-host Anthony Brooks talked to him recently about his brand new opera, which will premiere in Boston tomorrow.
Matthew O'Coin grew up in Medfield, Massachusetts, and completed his first symphonic work at the age of 9. By 11, he could play Mozart's entire Marriage of Figaro on the piano from memory. He went to Harvard and now fills in as a conductor of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and he became the first ever composer in residence at the Peabody Essex Museum. And now Matthew O'Coin has composed an opera called Crossing. We're listening to the prologue right now. It's making its world premiere with the American Repertory Theater tomorrow night at the City Schubert Theater in Boston. Matthew O'Coin has done all this by the age of 25. He came into our studio recently to talk about Crossing, which is based on the diaries that Walt Whitman kept while he worked in a Civil War field hospital, documenting the unimaginable horrors of war.
Whitman perceived almost before anybody else that this was dangerous for our humanity. And he saw his own role as a poet to be a healer and to preserve the level of the individual life, the individual story, the value of that in a time when, 10,000 people would die in a single day on a single field. So his diaries and his record of the war is really touching because it's just like thousands of portraits of the young men that he met.
I know that despite your amazing accomplishments as a musician and a composer and a lyricist now, you studied English at Harvard. Did you love Whitman? Were you drawn to his poetry?
Totally. Whitman's a strange case, I think. He's maybe the greatest American poet, but he only has a few good poems, I think.
That's interesting.
He sort of resembles Beethoven and almost nobody else in that the line between what's really great in Whitman and what's really bad is extremely thin.
I think I know what you mean. I found Whitman incredibly hard to read, and I had an English teacher who said to me once, "That's because he can be so boring." But he also but he also taught me to appreciate Whitman as well.
Well, he takes risks.
Yeah.
This is how he resembles an opera composer. He takes risks by being a little bit, not a little, a lot, overblown, over the top, melodramatic. I think it only works about 2% of the time, but that 2% is worth it. And I also think opera only works about 2% of the time. Most of the time you're sitting there thinking, what are we all doing here? What are they singing about? This isn't real. I don't believe any of this. But, one magical night out of 50, you sense that all the elements, the music, the words, the theatricality, the lighting,
all come together.
It all comes together.
Well, Matthew, let's listen to a little more from the prologue and then tell me what's going on.
Set in a kind of purgatory, which resembles a war hospital. And Whitman, just like Dante, has come to a midlife crisis. He's written his best work, and he realizes he still isn't sure who he is. He's kind of at a crossroads. And like Dante, he realizes he needs to visit hell on earth to test what his relationship to other human beings is, in a way that's different from how he tests it as a poet. In this prologue, Whitman addresses the audience. He breaks the fourth wall and says, "What is it then between us?" Which is a line from one of his poems. And that line means both, what is my relationship to you, to others? It's also, what is my relationship, from the poet to the reader, or from the person speaking on the stage to you in the audience. And he goes on in the prologue to say, "I'm kind of lost. I don't know how I've ended up here. I've left my life behind, and for some reason, I've wandered down to the limbo near Washington, D.C., and I'm just volunteering in this war hospital, which is about the most unpleasant place you can imagine, and I can't leave.
Now, I understand that as you were writing this, it sort of morphed into a love story, but didn't start that way. Is that right?
Yeah, it started as an ensemble piece. But inevitably, one or two of the people that you create seem more interesting than the others. So I sort of ruthlessly killed off minor characters and focused on a couple of central threads. And one of them is a friendship which becomes a romantic relationship for Whitman.
I'm interested in asking you sort of how this opportunity came about for you to write this opera. The ART actually commissioned you to write this opera. Diane Paulus, the ART's artistic director, is directing it. How did this opportunity come about?
I was a senior at Harvard, and I'd written a piece, an opera, that was going up on the Loeb main stage, which is a space that the ART shares with the Harvard students. So naturally, some people from the theater saw the piece, including Diane. And Lord knows what she saw in it. It was, when I think back on it, that piece sounds to me like a mess. But we started talking, and this idea started to cohere in the fall of 2012.
Interesting. You know, we mentioned all of these amazing accomplishments that you have under your belt. And obviously, they're all connected to music. But I'm intrigued, why were you an English major at Harvard as opposed to a music major?
Well, first of all, poetry is as important to me as music is. And I think I am either blessed or cursed with a kind of synesthesia that means that I perceive language and music as kind of like the same thing. When we're listening to another person talk, the sensory information that we're getting has as much to do with the cadence of their voice and the rhythms as it does with the actual words. And when we listen to music, it's not just pure sound. It's highly organized into chords and rhythmic structures that have meanings the same way words do. You know, when you hear a certain chord, you go, I think I know what that means because I've heard it before. The same way when you hear a word, you think you know what it means. All this to say, music and poetry feed each other for me.
Well, speaking of words, we mentioned that you wrote the script for this opera, but you also set some of Whitman's words to music, right?
Yeah, very few, though. He's really hard to set to music.
So why is that?
The lines are so long. If you look at it on the page, sometimes they spill over the margin.
Right.
If you think about how long it takes to say those lines... I contradict myself very well, then I contradict myself. I am large. I contain multitudes. Try singing that.
Yeah.
You'd run out of breath. So I had to be very strategic about which moments in Whitman really demand musical setting. The one that I couldn't resist was Crossing Brooklyn Ferry, which is where the title of the opera comes from. It's a kind of epiphany poem. He's riding on the ferry between Brooklyn and Manhattan, and something about the churning of the water and the way the light is striking the water and the presence of the other people and the vision of the shores on both sides makes him aware of life as this ongoing cyclical process of crossing from one shore to the other. And it's this sort of shining moment where everything seems okay.
We receive you with free sense at last.
There's a great quote that you gave the Boston Globe about writing an opera. You said it's kind of like killing a hydra. Every time you think it's done, six more heads sprout out. Say more about that. What do you mean by that?
If you're looking at one opera as a structure, and you change one thing in one place, it's the butterfly effect, you know? Oh, if someone says X here, they can't say Y an hour later. So if you change one thing and you think, okay, I'm all set, then you watch people sing through it and you go, oh God, these 3 minutes have to be changed. These other 3 minutes have to be changed. And, you know, you have to be okay with not just killing the Hydra, but in a way, you know, killing your babies artistically.
I have one more question, and it's just about sort of where you are and just the really impressive list of accomplishments. I mean, your first professionally produced opera is premiering tomorrow night. You have another opera premiering with the Lyric Opera of Chicago later this year. You've conducted the Metropolitan Opera. You've been commissioned by Carnegie Hall. You're just 25. Is all of this sometimes overwhelming?
It would be if I thought about it as things that I've already accomplished, but I don't feel like I've accomplished anything. I mean, that's
How does that make us feel?
No, but I mean, I think if you're a composer, you have to just live in the moment of whatever problem you're dealing with on the page. Of course, the social part of me, the part of me that's happy to show my parents this opera, whatever, all that stuff, I'm totally excited that this is happening. But the composer in me just wants to get back to the studio to wrestle with the next problem. That's what I live for as an artist. So, I mean, I hope I keep living that way. I don't want to rest on any laurels.
Well, Matthew O'Coin, he's the composer in residence at the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem. His brand new opera, Crossing, premieres tomorrow night with the American Repertory Theater at the City Schubert Theater. It runs through June 6th. There's a lot more information on our website at radioboston.org. And Matt O'Coin, congratulations on the opera, and thank you so much for coming in. It was such a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.